Yeah, you are just two men, two young men, 30 something, called the 2 Gallants, Adam Stevens, Tyson Fogel, which whom I'm speaking with at the moment, and you're named after the novel of James Joyce, The Dubliners. My question would be: is literature in general, is this an important thing for you, for your lyrics, for your music?
Well, I think that we both are kind of drawn to literature in sort of in our individual ways, and I think that with many things with music, you know, I think there's a lot of what you can say things that will support ideas, or you know, you can get a sort of an idea coming from walking down the street to reading a poem to just waking up in the morning with. And you know, feeling a certain way. So, I mean, I think that literature is important in the process of just that. It is important to both of us, and reading is important, and learning how to, you know, see how other people express themselves, I think, is also important, and learning how to maybe find a way of expressing ourselves in a more efficient and thorough manner.
Are you still fans of James Joyce, or did this
Yeah,
change?
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the name came from at a certain period of time when we both were reading that book, so
But
and
it's a
we
long
so,
time ago, and that's why I'm asking. So maybe.
yeah, I mean, we're definitely both fans of James Joyce.
How is it possible to make such a noise with just two people? That's what I'm asking myself when I'm listening to your CD. And
Well, we
even
try
on
to keep
stage, it
it.
will be much more, I guess.
Well, we try to keep it really honest. I mean, I think that that is always been has been something in our approach to recording music and to playing in general. And I think that there is a balance of complication that comes with simplification. When you simplify certain things, it leaves more room for an interaction of kind of a different weaving of sound. So, you know, I mean, we don't have any backing track and there's no loops. We just play music
Which
and
is quite
kind of
common at the moment.
yeah, well, and try to, you know, also like, I think it's important as a musician to understand your instrument and even understand the history of how it was used and promote that kind of history, you know, and where musicians all up until pretty recently all really played their instruments and knew them and spent their life learning them. And so, you know, I think for us, part of the music is the process of keeping that honest and real and, you know, and just like a little bit of a nod to the idea of when you do simplify certain things, it does not mean that they are uncomplicated. In their parts.
But you change instruments, don't you? So there's also a piano sometimes or other instruments.
Yeah, I mean, there's you have to have different colorings to maybe express things in a different way. And I think that having more instruments and having an understanding or a connection to more instruments not only adds to the main instrument of focus, like, you know, for example, if Adam is considered to be his main instrument is guitar in this band, which it is, having the piano there is, you know, creates a relationship between the two creative, you know, parts of playing different instruments and how they relate, for example. So I think that like it like adds to understanding of the original instrument and also just allows for a more expansive understanding of how to express yourself musically with sound.
Have there been any comparisons to other groups, for example, the White Stripes or
Oh,
so?
yeah.
Because,
I
yeah,
mean,
it's this two guy thing, or the Dresden Dolls, I don't know. So, a lot
well,
of.
you know, the Dresden, the, yeah, the, I think people over here would say the Dresden Dolls more than in America, but I mean, mainly we used to get always compared to the White Stripes and Black Keys, but I think mainly just because we're only two people in the band, and we kind of play music that is somewhat rooted in like a an American-based experience. I mean, you know, I neither one of us try to dwell too long on what other people, you know, comparisons in my mind are never, they're never enough. They're not really a good way of describing in detail, you know, something else, because inherently that other thing is inherently itself. And we are nothing like the Black Keys or the White Stripes or Dresden Dolls for that matter. But it's nice to get, you know, it's nice people think about that.
Maybe you're better on stage than the other guys.
Wait,
Because
what?
you're fame maybe you're on stage, you're better. You're the better
Better than.
performance group. So
Oh,
you're famous for your performances. That what happens on stage? I mean, two guys, are you dancing and spinning around, or what are you doing except singing and playing guitar and drums?
well, I mean, it's, I guess I would say that we're up there sort of stoking the fire in ways where, you know, since there's only two of us as well as we have each other to interact with, and the song is like the third entity. It's like the monument that we are building in front of an audience. So there takes a process to build that monument, and every night it's different. And I think that there's sort of another presence that's there, that maybe people feel that, and we are embodying that in our chemistry, you know.
Could you give an example for such a monument or
Well, you know,
building?
in transitions between songs, or like even within a song, when you play live, you have to listen to how it sounds in the room. And every room is different, every crowd is different, every moment is sort of new. So we have to be connected, and we have to express that song in the way that it wants to enter into the room itself. And there's something behind that that we have to do together and individually. And I don't know, I think in Spanish maybe they call that like the duende or something like that. But, or you know, it's like a leprechaun. It's like the spirit that comes in and takes control of a direction of how a human acts. And so, you know, maybe between us, maybe that's what it is. I don't even know. I'm up there. I can never see it, you know.
Do you have as well a kind of relationship not only with Adam but also with the public?
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something that I'm trying to feel more comfortable with, and to a certain extent, and I think that we're both a little bit on our own, you know, a little bit shy of the microphone, apart from singing into it, and but you know, of course, that doesn't mean that the public has any less influence. I mean, a show is built for us and them together, and I see it as a mutual thing, you know. And I hope that, you know, I feel like when a show feels successful, it feels successful also because of the connection that you gain or that you build with that room and its inhabitants. And it's really special. I think that there's, if you look at all the other hours of the day for anybody, you know, the everyday toils, the routine of work, children, family, work, sleep, eat. You know, there's lots of that every day, and not often do we get to share in an experience where the moment feels like it's breathing, you know, like there's people attempting to build something and a connection with each other through sound. And I think that, you know, as a musician, I deeply appreciate it being able to do that in front of people, and I hope that people feel that from us in return, you know.
I see. Your lyrics. In general, they're said to be about things like junkies, artists, losers, misfits, gamblers, struggling workers, criminals, heartsick poets, and so on. In general, about weird people. Is this the kind of man you are as well? So, do you sing about yourself in that sense?
I mean, I think that there's a song. A song is telling a story, a lot of the times, and there's the sonic story. There's like the intuition of the song, which is the music, the way that I kind of see it. And then there's the words that bring that story out into something very specific and very real. And even in just looking at a tradition of songwriting over time, like most traditional songs from kind of all over the world, they all tell stories of either observations of the local people, interacting with each other, or they're sort of poetic observations of the environment that the musicians are in. And it doesn't, have to always be something that is maybe from personal experience. And I think part of that, tradition is being carried on and how, we approach the song and how Adam approaches his songwriting and the seriousness of the music in relation to the same amount of attention having to be put into words is a marriage that will, whether you're singing as a woman, being a man singing as a woman, or taking on other roles that maybe in a certain, present form of reality may have never happened, doesn't mean that emotionally, I think that one can't express a certain feeling or maybe even like a facet or form of empathy of that experience. And to be able to like be flexible and see what other people go through and try to, put that forward in a certain way, I think is a form of showing respect to human beings and their life and the living.
In your latest record, We Are Undone, this title sounds itself, it sounds a bit like a protest or refusal. And you have in the first line of the first track, it's called We Are Undone, this line, Father, has the marketplace done us any good? And after that, as long as your cup's full, everything is fine. So this sounds for me like a kind of critique of the global markets or capitalism or so. So is this correct? So do I see it correct? Is it is this the general topic more or less of this record
I mean,
between the
for the
lines?
record, I think the record, has kind of explores multiple different things, and I think that that's just one of a few different ideas being put forward. But I think generally, if I were to look at the, looking back upon it, there is a lot of observation and sort of critique of how we see or how the world around us is decaying and why.
And do you have an explanation?
Well, there's many, but yeah, I don't
It
think that
belongs together, I think,
there's
so.
one, I don't think that there's one cohesive answer. I think there's many different subjects need much attention. So in some ways, I think that, there's an approach to that in these songs that maybe reflect what we all should be considering.
Besides the capitalism topic, there's as well gentrification, for example, or that people give a shit about for the environment. So I think it everything belongs together. So all these problems, it's a kind of vicious circle, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and that's sort of based off of the title kind of tries to attend to that as well. I mean, having this skull on the front, which is the Hurtu skull, which represents a very old version of a Homo sapien, and considering that, in its evolution, it was thousands and thousands of years old, and it still looks somewhat very, very similar to now, and how, much has happened in that time, and also how little that we've evolved in, sort of the big picture scheme of things. And if that's the case, and you look at the environment and things that are going on around us, to the point to where we've evolved to the point to where our environment is being destroyed, but we are still primitive, even though we think that we're so contemporary.
Yeah, maybe because we have to survive in the system, and that's why we have no attention or no
But I mean, but that's the thing, is that,
no time and energy.
the genes that we have, the things that we will be, they're fighting to further themselves even. So we are undone means that there's even future versions of us, perhaps, and that this is not the end all. Us on the phone right now is not the end. It keeps going. Until what? Until we destroy everything, make the world a very hard place to live for future generations.
On this point, I always say nature will survive us, that's for sure. So.
Well, nature will, and I guess that's, I mean, that's what one would hope. But if you have this consciousness, and we're supposed to be so conscious and so up to date, but we can't even do it right to treat our environment and our world correctly, that consciousness seems to be a waste. We're just destroying, for using it for.
Maybe in the end, two other themes, love and death. So the big ones. There's a true, really true love song. It's called Katie Crooley. I ask myself, who is this woman? I mean, must be such a perfect woman. Is it a real person, maybe, or just like James Joyce?
I don't know if that's necessarily, I mean, that person is real.
It's just an idea, or is it? Could it be real? Maybe
Oh
this.
no, it could definitely be, it is
Okay.
real.
Okay.
But it may not be the Katie that you know. But it's real.
And death. Invitation to a funeral. Who's dying on that funeral? Is it a
It's up to you to
metaphor for
figure
anything?
out.
Okay. So it's not a metaphor. I don't know. We talked about before. Human
I
being
mean,
or the world or
I
dying.
you know it, I believe I think that that's also, that is also there. Yes, but that song has many facets to it, so I think it's kind of how you see it too. That's what's important.
Okay, Tyson, have fun on tour
Okay,
and thank you so
thank you very
much.
much, and come say hello when you come to the show.
Yeah, I will try. Thank you and
Okay,
see you.
thank you. All
Bye-bye.
right, good night. Bye-bye.